The Holy Gospel according to John, the 20th chapter. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Today is the day of Pentecost. All that red. Thank you, Mike Knitter. Apparently he spent hours hanging from the rafters to get the red bunting up. That looks very nice. And somebody put little red, these carnations up. Was that you, Dan Druckery? Druckery? No? Who did that? Was it? Or those red, are the geraniums? Who put those up? Who was it? Oh, thank you. Altar Guild did. All right. It's the day of Pentecost. It's considered a festival day for Christians, but today's festival derives its name from the Jewish festival day of Pentecost. That is observed 50 days after Passover. Remember Passover? You guys, we spent a lot of time talking about that this year. That's a time when the blood of the lamb went over the doorpost of an Israelite family. That is a family that was enslaved by Pharaoh. That blood sacrifice secured the salvation of that family's firstborn. But we as Christians celebrate Pentecost, the 50th day of Easter, that time when our salvation is secured by the blood of Christ. And on this day, we celebrate the Holy Spirit as the power of God then among us that heals, forgives, inspires, and unites us all. Think about that. It heals, forgives, inspires, and unites us all. In the reading from Acts, images of wind and fire describe the Spirit poured out on disciples of all nations. In John's Gospel, the risen Christ breathed the Spirit on his followers on Easter evening. And so our readings for today echo a word that is the Greek or New Testament word for Spirit. That word is pneuma. Let's all say it together. Pneuma. Very good. There's actually a Bible study out there, a video Bible study by a guy named Rob Bell, and he called it Pneuma. I don't know if any of you are familiar with that series that he did, a video series called Pneuma, this idea of spirit. So pneuma is a Greek word when we hear spirit or wind in the text. And in our text for today, we read, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the pneuma and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit, as the pneuma, gave them ability. The Hebrew scripture or the Old Testament scripture, we don't very often hear about the Holy Spirit, but we do hear about the Spirit of God or the Spirit of the Lord. And the Hebrew name for Spirit is Ruach. Oh, let's do that together. Ruach. Isn't that great? You can almost hear the wind. Ruach is the way that goes. So we now have the Greek word, pneuma. You're going to be using that all day long today. The pneuma be with you and also with you. Or the ruach be with you and also with you. So when we hear Spirit of God in Hebrew, Spirit of God, God is Elohim, that's actually ruach Elohim. The Spirit of God. So if you're really going to test yourself today, go up to somebody and say, Ruach Elohim. And that is the Spirit of God. Then you can say, be with you, so it makes sense. This Spirit of God and this wind or breath of Jesus in the text is talking about the presence then of the Holy Spirit. And what a powerful thing this Holy Spirit is. Remember that when we have already talked about how the Holy Spirit is the power of God among us, that heals, forgives, inspires, unites. That sounds a little bit almost like something you might have heard from a movie. Does it sound a little familiar? Let me quote somebody here. Well, the Force is what gives a Jedi his power. It's an energy field created by all living things. It surrounds us and penetrates us. It binds that galaxy together. Sounds a little familiar, doesn't it? This idea of the spirit that heals, forgives, inspires, and unites. It should sound familiar. Do you know who said that? Who can tell me who said that? Oh, come on. Thank you. It's Obi-Wan Kenobi from Star Wars. So that's words that were spoken a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. So we would say to each other, if we were all nerds, but apparently I'm the only one, maybe Pat just a little bit, we would say, may the Force be with you. And as a Lutheran, I often say back to my nerd friends when they say, may the Force be with you, I say, and also with you. There are many people that believe that the creator of the Star Wars universe, George Lucas, was very influenced by his German writing that he had read and where he attended a German Lutheran church for a while. The description of the Force in Star Wars saga does sound amazingly familiar to the description of the Holy Spirit. But the Star Wars saga is not the only place where something like the Holy Spirit shows up in our entertainment-oriented culture. There is always some unforeseen force that moves the story along in many movies and television shows. It usually shows up as a change in the wind, and therefore it's very often also a change in the weather. Mary Poppins? How does she arrive? Do you remember? Yeah, from the sky on an umbrella. She's riding the wind into that location. And what happens to the other ladies? They literally get blown away. How about the opening sequence of a modern classic, Forrest Gump? Actually, the opening and closing. What is it that holds up that feather? What is it that holds up that feather and the lives and the stories in the movie, Forrest Gump? Why are their lives changed? What is it that carries Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz to the land of Oz? It's a tornado. That's a pretty big wind. That's a pretty big pneuma. That's a pretty big Ruach Elohim, right? And her life has changed forever. And it's because of that big wind that comes through that she's ultimately reunited with her family. Now, these are loosely connected imageries of our popular culture that connects earthly weather phenomena to something that is supposed to be larger than the people that are in the story. And it's a nod to the Holy Spirit, but those stories never really talk about the Holy Spirit. They just use something spirit-like to move their story along, to give the story some extra depth. But I bring up these pop elements, these pop entertainment elements, to point out what a potent thing this pneuma is, this Holy Spirit, how the idea of the Holy Spirit permeates our modern culture. We hear about the Spirit in the Bible. In Exodus, when the Israelites are led around by a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire, is that the Spirit of God at work? Is that Ruach Elohim? But what does it mean to us here and now in this place? How does the Holy Spirit have relevance in our lives today? How do we interact with the Holy Spirit in our daily lives? Are we even aware of God's Holy Spirit's presence in our lives? How do we know the Holy Spirit even exists? Billy Graham is often cited for a quote that he has responded to people with when they say they can't believe in God because they haven't seen God. He says, can you see God? You haven't seen him? I've never seen the wind. I see the effects of the wind, but I've never seen the wind. There's a mystery to it. And this way that Graham responds to people is actually paraphrased from a poem by Christina Rossetti. It's a poet from the 1800s. She wrote this poem, "Who has seen the wind? Neither I nor you. But when the leaves hang trembling, the wind is passing through. Who has seen the wind? Neither you nor I. But when the trees bow down their heads, the wind is passing by." So what about this pneuma in our own lives? This breath of Jesus, the breath of life. Do we even try to acknowledge the Holy Spirit at work in our lives today? How might that Spirit be trying to change us? Consider this. When a person has been in a fire and has smoke inhalation, or someone has drowned, and resuscitation is used, they call that what? The breath of life. Is that the Holy Spirit at work in our world? Does that change our lives? And what about when we are in the midst of a crisis in our lives and we have what has become called a moment of clarity? Isn't that the Holy Spirit? The Spirit of wisdom and truth? And our lives are changed. How about that moment after a mother has struggled with labor for hours and a newborn child sucks air into his lungs for the very first time? The breath of life. Isn't that the Holy Spirit at work in our lives? And our lives are changed. So why does Jesus come and stand among us and say, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you"? And why does Jesus breathe on us, saying, "Receive the Holy Spirit"? This gift, this pneuma, this Ruach Elohim. Why it comes to change our lives. If we, the church, do not allow ourselves to be challenged by this Holy Spirit, if we are not moved to action, then what are we here for? And so we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill our lives with wisdom and the truth of God in Jesus Christ. Heal, forgive, inspire, and unite us all. Help us to respond to your call. Change our heart, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please rise as we continue with our service.